Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation conference call announcing its fourth quarter 2020 financial results. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence d'H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du quatrième trimestre 2020. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press the star key followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, September 24th, 2020, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to your hosts, Monsieur Frédéric Dugré and Marc Blanchet. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchet, CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a brief word in French to our French audience. Bonjour, merci à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et de vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site Internet, h2oinnovation.com, dans la section Investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com. In the section Investors. Frédéric Dugré, President and CEO, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. During this call, Frédéric will give an update on the business and present the highlights of our fourth quarter and fiscal year 2020. And I will be presenting the financial result of this quarter and the year ending June 30, 2020. Please take a moment to read the forward-looking statements on page 2 and the non-IFRS financial measures on page 3 of the presentation. I now hand over the call to Frédéric.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you to the research analysts and the shareholders for joining the call today. It is with great pride and excitement that we're presenting you our annual and fourth quarter results. These results testify to the hard work of our 700 employees and to the uniqueness of our business model relying on three distinct but highly complementary business pillars. Going through this global COVID-19 pandemic in our fourth quarter, we certainly realized that water industry is a good space to be in due to the essential nature, but also that our business model is solid and resilient with 86% of recurrent revenues. Now, let me give you a quick overview of these results on page 4. Our revenues for the 2020 continued to grow by 13.3%, boosted by the acquisition of Genesis completed in November 2019, but also by the sustained organic growth of our specialty products and O&M. Despite the revenue decrease in our project business pillar, consolidated revenues finished the year at $133 million. Gross profit margin continued to improve and reached 26.9%, pushed by the greater portion of revenues coming from specialty product sales. The O&M continued to grow and improve this margin by the diligent control on budget and experienced team that we have. The adjusted EBITDA reached a new high of $12.5 million, representing 9.4% of the revenues. The significant improvement of 74% of our adjusted EBITDA is the reflect of our tight control on cost, but also the result of our business model coming to fruition. This allowed us to generate $12.3 million in cash in our fiscal year, which enabled us to reduce the net debt significantly by from March 31st to June 30th. Mark will notably cover that in the financial part of our presentation. The fourth quarter was particularly strong with net earnings of $800,000. Even though we had to restructure and reorganize the first business pillar, causing a one-off charge of $400,000 in the fourth quarter, the financial performance remains really good. Overall, we finished the fourth quarter with a strong adjusted EBITDA of $4.8 million, representing 13.4% of our revenues. It is a double compared to the fourth quarter last year. Now let's have a look at the performance of each of our business pillars. Starting at page 5 with our first business pillar, the Water Technology and Services, or named WTS. As per the press release on August 24, we decided to rebrand and reorganize our first business pillar in order to better reflect our technology value offering, maximize operation synergies between project execution and aftermarket service group, and adjust to a punctual slowdown in project delivery. I said punctual because I believe that WTS will bounce back this year from the recent wins we had, but also from a lighter cost organization and more agile organization. Indeed, through this reorganization that occurred before June 30th, we reduced our operating and selling costs by $700,000, creating a one-off restructuration cost of $407,000. Even if it's always difficult to go through a restructuration for a team, I firmly believe that what we did was the right thing for the company. I want to thank my colleagues from the WTS group for their resilience, hard work, and dedication. We have definitely better days and quarters ahead of us. On slide number 6, we observe that we are starting the new fiscal year on the right foot and that we're growing again the backlog coming from the projects secured in 2020, but also boosted by 6 new projects totaling $17.8 million secured at the beginning of the first quarter of fiscal year 2021. Despite the cancellation of a large desalination project in California announced earlier in May, the backlog is now taking an upward trend again, which will impact positively our new fiscal year. Indeed, the backlog stood at $34.8 million at the end of June and stood at $42.2 million at the end of August, or almost $52 million if we consider the value of the project where we had been selected but not awarded yet. Our backlog and expected new projects will keep our existing workforce fully utilized in the next fiscal year, and we still have with this the ability to expand production, notably through outsourcing, if there's more business coming in. We also continue our technology diversification by signing a strategic partnership with a membrane ceramic supplier. Moving forward, we remain focused to look after additional projects and opportunities susceptible to generate sales of specialty products and consumables. As we see on page 7, it is more than 750 water reuse and wastewater treatment systems that we have installed during the last 20 years. This represents a unique platform in North America on which we can grow our service and after sales, expand our offering, and maximize customer retention, thus recurring revenues. On that front, we launched at the end of our third quarter an important reconquest customer plan to solicitate old customers for consumables, parts, repairs, and system upgrades. Now let's look at page 8 at the performance of our second business pillar, the specialty products. The fiscal year 2020 was particularly busy for this business pillar, which was punctuated by the strategic acquisition of Genesis in November 2019. The combination of the two and complementary specialty chemicals company, PWT and Genesis, will allow us to do 3 things. First, build one of the largest global distribution network of specialty chemicals for membrane plants. Second, it will allow us to increase our in-house chemical manufacturing capabilities from California only to now United Kingdom, which will enable us also to reduce freight costs, tax duties, and tariffs for customers. Finally, it will also allow us to expand our product offering by combining product portfolio and developing new products. Obviously, the COVID global pandemic slowed us down in the integration process due to traveling restrictions. However, we have continued to push the integration roadmap that now stands at 65% completion. Both teams, PWT and Genesis, have started to work together more effectively and have started to promote to customers the new gen mine chemical dedicated to the mining sector. We're also delighted to see the sustained PWT sales growth of 95% for specialty chemicals in the Middle East and North African regions. As you imagine, these territories are highly promising for new install-based water treatment capacity. They're also in synergies with our Piedmont business line, which provides specialty anti-corrosive components to the desalination industry. Our maple equipment product line did also very well this year and was able to deliver most of its customer order prior to the COVID crisis. Through sustained marketing efforts and innovative products, we have been able to rebuild our backlog for the maple equipment and begin our new fiscal year on a positive manner. Piedmont business line had a terrific performance with multiple large couplings and filter housings secured and delivered in the year. Thanks to our dedicated team in Bilbao in Spain and their forward-thinking engineering design, we have been able to provide the filter housings for the largest desalination plant in the world named Tawila, located in the UAE. As they say, a picture worth a thousand words. So let's look a little bit at the Piedmont journey in the last fiscal year. At slide number 9, we see that Piedmont continued to add multiple prestigious references, including Tawila, as I mentioned before. It's the picture at the bottom left that you see there. Next to it is also the FRP filter housings for a mining customer in Chile. These filters are highly innovative because they are the first one in the world in the market capable to integrate regular cartridge filter elements and high flow filter elements. This hybrid design is in line with our philosophy of providing the customer with freedom of choice in order to have the best performance at competitive price. Finally, the third picture at the bottom is also for multiple satellite water treatment plants located in Saudi Arabia. I want to bring to your attention now the chart on the right-hand side. The remarkable growth that Piedmont experimented in the last year is due to the booming desalination market, but also to the successful integration of new filter housing product line launched 4 years ago. This has allowed us to position Piedmont among the top tier of our industry and built a strong brand recognition. In total, it is more than 50 projects of filter housing and couplings that were delivered to customers that were for mega desalination plants. Piedmont in itself is a unique business platform for products and components to the desalination industry. We intend to keep growing this platform through product innovation and tuck-in acquisitions. At slide 10, you clearly see that our sales channel of specialty products are multiple, with more than 100 distributors geographically dispersed. Through this large distribution network, we are exporting products in more than 70 countries. With our distributors, we bring local expertise and ensure continuity of supply to end users, particularly important factor during this pandemic crisis. This distribution platform represents a unique opportunity for H2O innovation to grow sales by maximizing sales synergies among the different product lines and by introducing new products in the coming years. The last but not the least business pillar, the operation and maintenance, presented at page 11. In the last fiscal year, the O&M group was able to renew 8 projects, representing 100% of its contract coming up for renewal. They represent a total of $35.7 million of revenues that will be recognized in the coming years. The organic and external growth was sustained for this business pillar, with 21.5% compared to the last year revenues. This strong progression was particularly due to the various scope of work expansion within the different O&M projects, but also to the acquisition of ACE South, which impacted the complete 12-month period of our last fiscal year. To continue our growth in a similar fashion, we announced in early July the acquisition of Gulf Utility Services, allowing us to grow our presence in Texas. It is now a total of 85 O&M customers, representing $25 million of revenues that we have in Texas, which is one of the fastest growing states in need with water and wastewater infrastructure operation, maintenance, and upgrades. We have made a number of acquisitions in the O&M pillar. These acquisitions are obviously in line with our expectations. To our pleasant surprise, we have been able to enhance the profitability of these acquisitions by operating the business in a more efficient and productive manner. As a result, every dollar of increased EBAC in the O&M pillar turns into a dollar of free cash at the end. Looking at the map at slide 12, we see that we have built our O&M business pillar around key regions: the northeast of the United States, the southeast, the Gulf Coast, the Texas, and the western side of the country. Together, it is more than 200 utilities that we operate and maintain for our customers, and it is close to 65,000 invoices that we process and send to end user every month. Moving to slide number 13, we see that it's not by chance, but by design that we have built this business to what it is today. I want to bring your attention to the yellow line of the chart, showing the evolution of the adjusted EBITDA. Our business mix and specialty products growth, obviously supported by the sustained acquisition of the O&M, have allowed us to improve year-over-year adjusted EBITDA performance to $12.5 million at the end of fiscal year 2020. Moving to slide number 14, we are showing how the level of recurring revenues by nature has evolved over the previous fiscal period. The strategic decision to focus on growing recurring sales and focusing on customer retention has allowed us to significantly de-risk the business, improve cash flow, and gross profit margin. For our fiscal year 2020, the recurring revenues represented 86% of our consolidated revenues, driven by specialty products that we manufacture and distribute through a large network of distributors, by the operation and maintenance we are providing to 200 water and wastewater utilities in North America, and by our aftermarket sales where we are supplying to our project install base. This business model enables us to gain financial predictability, improve margins, and generates really good operating cash flow. I will now pass it on to Marc Blanchet, our CFO, who will review and discuss the financial performance of our company.
Thank you, Frederic. First, in the next three slides, we'll go over the financial performance of the three business pillars. Then we'll look at it on a consolidated basis. So please go to page 16, first pillar, water technology and services. So revenue for the fourth quarter stood at $7 million, which is a decrease compared to last year where we showed $9.2 million. We finished fiscal 2020 with revenues of $29.3 million for the period of 12 months, which is a decrease compared to $40 million last year. The weight of WTS on a consolidated revenue significantly decreased last fiscal year. In 2019, WTS revenue represented 34% of the consolidated revenue and now represents 22%. It's explained by the fact that for 2020, the consolidated revenue of H2O increased by 13%, while WTS revenue decreased by 27%. As for the gross profit margin, it also decreased by $1.4 million, but in percentage over revenue, it improved. It stood at 20% for 2020 compared to 18% for last year. This is the result of our strategy of being more selective on the projects we bid. This decrease in revenue impacted negatively the EBAC. EBAC for H2O stands for Earning Before Admin Cost, which is close to a division EBITDA. So the EBAC, the EBAC has decreased by about 3 points of percentage compared to last year. This decrease in percentage is impacted by the decrease in revenue, but with keeping the same cost structure. This business pillar had a challenging year, as Frederic explained, with the cancellation of the Monterey project, which led to a non-cash and non-recurring impairment charge of $5.3 million against goodwill and intangible asset on this business pillar. Frederic said it earlier, we did a restructuration of this business pillar. In our financial statements, we reported restructuring costs of $400,000 that impact the fourth quarter of 2020. This should generate savings of about $700,000 on an annual basis for the following year. These saving on cost structure should also improve the percentage of EBAC over revenue for fiscal 2021. This restructuration is in line with management's objective of improving the corporation's profitability by remaining selective on the project on which the corporation intends to bid, focusing on projects with high gross profit margin and projects that may generate recurring revenues, such as O&M, contract, or aftermarket revenues. On June 30, the backlog of WTS stood at 34.8 compared to 45.2, representing a decrease of 23%. but following the award of 6 municipal and industrial projects on August 24th, WTS sales backlog is now back to $42.2 million. The pipeline is still very rich in opportunity. We're actually bidding on projects that could continue to replenish the backlog if some of these projects are won. As explained earlier, the focus of this business pillar is to improve the gross profit margin prior to focusing on growing the volume of revenues. Looking at the backlog schedule and revenue recognition and the recurring revenue coming from service and aftermarket, for 2021, we expect that WTS will generate similar level of revenue, but with an improved EBAC percentage over revenue due to the restructuration we did and the focus we have on generating revenue with higher gross profit margin. Now let's move to page 17 or slide 17, the second business pillar, specialty products and specialty products. As you can see on this chart, the business pillar had an impressive growth during this last fiscal year, as well as for the last quarter. So revenue of Q4 increased by $5 million or 71%, and revenue of fiscal 2020 increased by $15 million or 61%. And finished the year above $40 million of revenues. This increase in revenue for this business pillar is supported by the acquisition of Genesis, which generated $7.2 million for a 7 month and a half of revenue, because the transaction was closed on November 15th, so it's 7.5 months of revenue. Significant sales of Piedmont, Frederick touched on it. Piedmont had an incredible year. And the fact that maple sales were also back to a higher level compared to the previous year. The investment done in the product development and expansion of the sales network, combined with the acquisition of Genesis, will continue to generate growth of revenue in the upcoming quarters. The gross profit margin stood at 43% compared to 40% for the previous fiscal year. It's representing an increase of $7.1 million. As the increase of the gross profit, as well as an increase in gross profit margin percentage. The variation is mainly due to the business mix within the business pillar. So with a higher level of revenue coming from Piedmont and Maple business line and the addition of Genesis characterized by higher gross profit margin. The EBAC increased by 107%. It stood at $9.6 million or 23.8% for 2020 compared to 18% last year. The increase is due to the higher level of revenue and a good control on operating and selling expenses, as well as the addition of Genesis. So the pillar organic growth revenue was 40% for 2020, mostly because of Piedmont and Maple. Management expects revenue to continue to grow, but for a more reasonable level for next year, ranging in the area of 7 to 10% for 2021, plus a full year contribution of Genesis. So I invite you to move on slide 18, operation and maintenance. The O&M revenue stood at $17.3 million during the fourth quarter compared to $15.9 million last year. It's representing an increase of 8%. For 2020, revenue stood at $64.1 million compared to $52.8 million last year, so representing an increase of 21%. The full year contribution of AIDS explained 90% of this increase. The gross profit margin stood at 20%, close to just below 20%, 19.9% compared to 18.3% last year, representing an increase of 32%. So O&M ZBAT stood at $9.1 million or 14% on June 30, compared to 5.8% or 11% for the previous fiscal year, representing an increase of 55 or 56%. The improvement of the gross profit margin combined with a good control on expenses explains the improvement of the EBAC. As at June 30, 2020, the O&M backlog stood at $90.6 million, representing an increase of 9.6% compared to last year. The increase is boosted by the renewal of 3 long-term contracts with existing customers, as well as some scope expansion. It's important to note that the revenues coming from Hayes and from Gulf Utility Services are not included in the backlog, since most of those contracts are with municipal utility districts and are usually evergreen contracts. So the growth we project for O&M business pillar combined with the revenue of our new acquisition of GUS, Gulf Utility Services, which was closed on July 1st, provides confidence in our plan to exceed $70 million of revenue coming from O&M in the next year. So please go to page 19, financial highlights. Financial highlights on a consolidated basis. We reported revenues of $133 million compared to $118 for the previous fiscal year. It's an increase of 13.3%. As explained earlier, this increase is mainly coming from the acquisition of Genesis, as well as organic growth from specialty products and the O&M business pillar. The gross profit margin ratio for this fiscal year increased to 26.9% compared to 23% last year. On Q4, the gross profit margin ratio increased to 29.5% compared to 24.5% last year. The increase of the gross profit margin in percentage is explained by the increase in gross profit margin coming from specialty products. And I explained it earlier, but due to the acquisition of Genesis. Also, the improvement of the gross profit margin coming from WTS business line and the adoption of the new accounting rule, IFRS 16, which resulted in a decrease of the COGS expense by $100,000 just for the fourth quarter. The net loss is mainly due to the impairment on goodwill and intangible asset for the amount of $5.3 million that we took on the WTS business pillar. Without the impact of this non-recurring and non-cash impairment, the corporation would present a net earnings of $900,000 for fiscal year 2020. We circled the EBITDA on that slide, but we'll cover this in two slides. So let's look at the SG&A on slide 20. The expense increased on the fourth quarter compared to the same quarter of previous year. It stood at $6 million compared to $5.6 million. Most of this increase is coming from Genesis. For 2020, SG&A reached, in percentage, 16.3%, while revenue of the SG&A reached 23.7 compared to 20 million, which is an increase of 16%, while the revenue increased by 13%. The general SG&A grew faster than the general level of revenue, mainly due to WTS business pillar. As explained earlier, we did a restructuration which should rebalance the SG&A of the WTS to a greater proportion of revenue. The objective of the management for 2021 is to maintain SG&A ratio around 18% threshold, since we intend to continue to develop, to invest in product development. Now let's move to the adjusted EBITDA. We're really proud to present that slide, obviously. On Q4, I invite you to pay attention on the EBITDA we showed there. It's 13.4% of adjusted EBITDA compared to 7.4% last year. For fiscal 2020, the EBITDA is at 9.4% compared to 6.1 last year of adjusted EBITDA, which is in dollars $12.5 million. This increase of the adjusted EBITDA is driven by the increase in our revenue, the increase in the gross profit margin, again, partly coming from Genesis and Piedmont. Also, the adoption of IFRS 16 contributed to reduce the EBITDA by $1.3 million. Impacted the EBITDA by $1.3 million. So it reduced the cost that we implied to EBITDA. And without that adjustment, the EBITDA would have been 8.4% instead of 9.4%. The objective of the management for 2021 is to maintain a ratio of adjusted EBITDA above 9% and reach above 10% for 2022. I invite you to go on page 2022, financial position. So working capital increased by $4.8 million. It was at $12.8 million on June 2019. Now it's at $17.6 million on June 30, 2020. The working cap is mainly impacted by IFRS 16, which added on June 13, which added $1.3 million in the current portion of the lease liability. The increase in the working cap is due to the addition of Genesis on the balance sheet. So receivable, I want to highlight the fact that receivable remained fairly the same as previous fiscal year, even though we had Genesis receivable, which added $2.2 million. Inventory increased by $1.2 million compared to last year, and the account payable increased, but this is due to some timing in payment of purchase for the period end of June 30. Please go to page 23. On this slide, you can see how we decreased the net debt in the last 3 months. During this last quarter, we reduced the net debt by 7.6 million. Therefore, on June 30, the net debt stood at 10.5 compared to 9.8 last year. So it's pretty reasonable increase considering the fact that we had 12 million of term loan to finance the acquisition of Genesis. As for fiscal 2021, I'll remind you that we subscribed to a debt of 2 million, a term loan of 2 million on July 2nd to finance the acquisition of Gus. Then in terms of payment reschedule, we expect to reimburse about 1 to 1.5 million per quarter for the next fiscal year and end up at the end of this fiscal year in June 2021 with a net debt approximately $7 to $8 million. So cash level was at 9.4, which is higher than usually. Since on July 1st, we had to disburse for the purchase price of Gus, and the loan was only paid on July 2nd. Please go to page 24, cash flow. It's another chart we're pretty proud of. On Q4, cash flow from operating activities generated 9.6 million compared to 3.2 for the same period last year. 2020 cash flow for the fiscal year, we generated 12.3 million compared to 5.8 during previous fiscal year. This increase in cash flow from operating activity is coming from the improvement of our earning before income tax and impairment charge and from change in working capital. Management is positive that 2021, the corporation will be able to maintain and improve similar level of cash flow from operating activities. So this concludes my remark on the financial section. I'll now hand over the call to Frédéric for conclusion remarks.
Thank you, Mark. Well, earlier this week, it was my birthday, and I have to say that I couldn't ask for a better gift than having the opportunity to present you these great results. I think the numbers speak by themselves. Overall, the company keeps growing and improving in many ways. Our business model is unique, with higher recurrent revenues contributing to de-risk the business financially. The combination of our different business lines contribute to customer retention and sales synergies. Hence, we generated $12.3 million of cash from operations, allowing us to strengthen or considerably our balance sheet. The adjusted EBITDA increased by 74% to reach $12.5 million at the end of our fiscal year. The consolidated backlog remains high at $125 million, providing the company excellent visibility for the coming quarters. There is one thing that we certainly realize. Water is essential to our life and to our economy. Our business model allows us to navigate through this COVID crisis in a positive manner. The COVID crisis has made us realize also that we can make organizational and operational changes that will allow us to run the company more efficiently in the future years. It is also with great pride that we have been nominated in two categories of the 2020 Global Water Awards, notably into one of the most prestigious categories, the Water Company of the Year. What a good way to celebrate the 20th anniversary of H2O Innovation. It is difficult to predict the future, but the last 20 years have shown how our tenacity and ability to adapt to change could influence our journey and foster the emergence of a unique water treatment company combining membrane filtration technologies, specialty products, and amazing customer care. It is on these bases that H2O Innovation looks with confidence to the next 20 years. Our team is ready to take on new challenges, continue to adapt to the needs of our customers, and reinvent this exciting, essential, and growing water industry. Finally, I wanted to thank our shareholders for their patience and their support. Also, with the support of our board and the commitment of our team, we have been able to present solid financial performance, setting the table to many more solid quarters in the coming years. We have been able to materialize the vision into tangible financial results. Thank you all for attending the call today. I will now turn it back to the operator for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you would like to ask a question during this time, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Your first question comes from the line of Frédéric Tremblay with Desjardins. Go ahead, your line is open.
Thank you, good morning.
Good morning, Frédéric.
Congrats on a very strong quarter.
Thank you.
First question for me is on Piedmont. The MD&A mentioned some large deliveries in the quarter. Just wondering if this is related to Wheeler and if we can basically expect additional revenue recognition from that contract in Q1, or if it was all done in Q4, and just related to that, sort of your expectations in terms of the trajectory for Q1 for that that particular business.
So if I may, so indeed the MD&A has referred to Tawila, but also referred to the fact that contract assets are high, inventory are high, and payables are high, and this unusual, I would say, bump is due to Piedmont. So not necessarily to the Tawila project, but due to the business activities of Piedmont that is still busy. So yes, they finished the year strong, and first and second half, the first half of the year will continue to be strong. At this point, we don't have enough visibility to say it'll be such a strong year for the next fiscal year, but for the whole fiscal year, but the first part of the year will be strong.
Perfect. And then you spoke about an initiative to, I think you referred it as reconquering some clients, leveraging your install base to generate recurring revenue out of the 750 systems installed. Any early indications of how successful this initiative has been so far?
Well, so far we had pretty, well, sustained small wins. But again, I mean, the whole strategy of combining the business together in one single P&L, you know, the project and the aftermarket together becoming one, will enable us to become more agile. So now we have a greater number of resources on the phone, in the field, tracking down these quote-unquote old customers to re-engage with them and propose them, you know, repair and upgrades. The good news is that through the years now, we're starting to see after 15, 20 years life cycle of an equipment, potentially good upgrades for us in the coming years. So this is what we want to be able to tap on, is these continuous services and upgrades on these old customers. And so far, we have good success, and we keep working on it. So that's promising.
Perfect. And maybe last question for me. In terms of your capital allocation priorities for the year ahead, can you maybe talk about, you know, CapEx, debt reduction, and maybe your appetite for M&A as well?
Yes. So in terms of CapEx, we always maintain, I would say, similar budget. So it's not a very CapEx-intensive business. So in terms of maintenance CapEx, that's quite minimum. But we want to continue to reinvest in some of our equipments. You know, new contracts of 1M, for example, will lead to CapEx investment in new trucks. So for modelization, you know, the way I always propose is to, you know, look for CapEx of about 1 to 2% per year over revenue. So that's the ballpark in which we're trying to stay.
And for the second fold to your question about M&A, yes, we do have targets for small tuck-ins that we intend to continue to look at, as we just completed one in early July. In a similar fashion, we keep looking for other opportunities still in the O&M and onto specialty products.
Great. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Colin Healy with Haywood Securities. Your line is open.
Thanks. Great quarter, guys.
Thank you, Colin.
Just on the, you know, looking at the pretty impressive slide on 13 and the adjusted EBITDA trend on margin, do you have a target margin across the platform or for each of the business pillars that you can talk about? Just, you know, trying to dial in our estimates and get your opinion as to where you see the biggest opportunities within the three pillars.
It's, I invite you to look a bit at the trends that we have been able to show, and that will lead you. And as you can see, I mean, the WTS business line, you know, it'll be difficult to move the historical path that we've developed, you know, unless we add some new business mix. For example, when Genesis has been added, that improved the EBITDA or the EBAC of the business pillar, because this is boosting that EBAC. And then it's the weight of all the three business pillars. So you know, project having less of a weight since the two other business, I say project now, WTS has less of a weight since the two other business pillars have increased. But even though you add weight to the O&M, I mean, it won't add weight to the overall EBITDA. So I'm not making an easy answer here. And I don't want to provide any guidance either, but you know, what I can tell you is we want to maintain, you know, high EBITDA. We'll keep focusing on profitability, and the objective is to bring this EBITDA above 10% for 2022. So we'll continue to push hard this year, and improve that EBITDA percentage.
So the two things we have to play with to skew our business model is, one hand, introduce more specialty products, either through acquisition or through organic innovation, which will enable us to push margins up. The other tool we have to tweak our business model is to add more acquisition on the O&M side as well, providing a lot of free cash flow. So one feed the other one, then we have the project on the other end that brings a lot of opportunities for the two other business pillars. And in terms of trend, I mean, overall, it's still a very fragmented market out there. We have a great platform in the U.S. We can absorb additional small tuck-ins acquisition down the road. So we're extremely well-positioned, and yeah. So.
I appreciate the effort on the answer there. I know that you can't say everything. On just on something that you mentioned there, on the specialty products and innovation side, do you have specific things that you're working on for existing customers that you think could be developed in the next 12 months, or is that a longer term type of goal?
So generally, I would say Fred would ask that. I can tell you, as Fred said, you know, tuck-in, yes, on the O&M, but also we're looking. Fred explained in the presentation that Piedmont is a great platform, similar to Genesis, to be able to add new product. It could be through acquisition, could be through license. So we will be working in identifying and maybe
high priority for us.
Yeah, it's a high priority for us.
Okay, great, guys. I appreciate it. I'll step out of the queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin.
Your next question comes from the line of Jerry Sweeney with Roth Capital. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning, Frederic and Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning, Jerry.
Congratulations on a great quarter. A little bit of a higher level question, right? So obviously on the specialty product side, the Piedmont products have gotten into some marquee projects like Twalia. You've added Genesis, which is, in my opinion, a great acquisition, expand your platform, more distribution, more products, more manufacturing capability. You know, as you're sort of getting out there on a wider breadth across the world, you know, is this opening up H2O to some larger customers, larger projects? You know, maybe describe, if you could, maybe some of the tone and tenor of some of the, you know, queries that are coming in from potential customers or in projects.
Well, definitely the recent wins, and this is why we highlighted the Piedmont earlier in the call. The Piedmont successes with multiple large mega desalination plants allowed us to position Piedmont, but also the overall company, on the top tier of the industry. So what we're currently trying to work on now is to use and leverage Piedmont relationship with these end users and with these EPCs to introduce on the back end of it and piggyback on this relationship and introduce Genesis, PWT, and or different other specialty products to grow our sales and introduce chemicals. This is currently happening as we speak, and we're working hard to do this. But again, obviously we're being limited right now in what we can do in terms of traveling and interfacing with the customers. I mean, we're trying to be innovative in approaching other customers as well through new virtual conferences that we're going to launch later this fall. But overall, that's the strategy, is to open door and try, once we have this client of decent size ahead of us, leverage this relationship to introduce other product line from other businesses on the side.
Got it. That's helpful. And then just staying with specialty products, you did mention, bolt-on acquisitions. Curious if that would be, if you can talk about it, is it more in the, I don't want to say in the product side, like Piedmont couplings, things like that, or an adjacent market, or are you looking more chemical side, as much as you can maybe describe on that front?
Well, I would say it's both. I mean, we're definitely looking at things, and we remain opportunistic for both. As we said, Piedmont is a great platform, mostly for the desalination industry because of the nature of the products we have. So, as you imagine, I mean, building a desalination plant required a lot of components, a lot of parts, and there's many more that we could add to the catalog of Piedmont as we speak. On the chemical side, our offering is very niche to the membrane filtration applications. There are surrounding specialty chemicals that we could also complement and provide, and this is what we're working on. So it's a, as I said earlier to the previous, it's a really high priority for us as we speak.
No, it's great. I mean, I think the chemical platform is great. I think it's, in fact, the whole specialty products platform is great. You got a great distribution platform. Anything you can tack onto that, just
that's right.
Just more. Just one other question on NanoStone, right? So I know you have an agreement with NanoStone, and there are, I believe, ceramic filters not membranes, but ceramic filtration. That's in a burgeoning area. Does this open up other areas? Just curious as to your thoughts on what's going to happen there. You know, not only with H2O, but just in the market in general, because I think, that should be a higher growth area as it develops.
Yes, I think ceramic is growing in terms of acceptance, if I may put it this way, for both the industrial and municipal. We saw the first large municipal plant being installed with membrane ceramic in Asia. I think it will be a trend now. It's a matter of the client and the end user and consultant engineers if they want to trade off, higher capex up front versus longevity of membranes, because these membranes can last 15, 20 years plus. So there's always a trade off. Are they fully ready for this? The good news is that more and more we're starting to see a tendency in the market, as we saw with other polymeric membranes, a reduction year after year or improvement into manufacturing capabilities, allowing the ceramic producers or manufacturing companies to lower their costs. So it is becoming a more accessible and affordable product. This is why also we wanted to push that, and have access to this within our different, tools that we have in a toolbox of the WTS group. And we have, successful projects so far delivered for industrial customers. So ceramic has definitely virtue in some areas where you have, high suspended solids and more complex water with specific chemistry or with higher low pH, for example, because it's a very resistant membrane with the material. But, I still we're just on a verge to start to see that, really, really booming.
Got it. That's helpful. I really appreciate it. And congratulations again on a very nice quarter.
Good. Thank you very much, Jared.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Gabriel Leung with Beacon Securities. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. And I guess happy belated birthday, Frederick. couple of things. First, Gulf Utility. You've had that acquisition on the books for almost 3 months now. Just curious if you can provide a little bit of an update on what the experience has been, integration-wise, sort of, you know, the book of business, renewals, and that kind of stuff, if there's anything you can talk about there.
Yeah, well, first, TopView is absolutely in line with our expectations, with our numbers, both in terms of operation, in terms of the people also with the team there. It's obviously unfortunate that we couldn't, on the corporate travel there and be there. However, because we do have a great number of employees already in Texas coming from the acquisition of A's previously and coming from other projects we're currently servicing with utility partners. So we have great business leaders, experienced with H2O, that are working on the integration with Gus' team. So far, so good. We kept our customers. The team is well engaged. Can't wait to meet them in person, I have to say. That's me personally, but overall it's absolutely going in line with our expectations.
And numbers are also quite in line, and quite in line. We'll see soon.
Gotcha, that's good to hear. Second, just moving on to the operating expenses. So in fiscal Q4, you saw a nice sequential decline on your operating expenses. I guess a big chunk of that would have been related to some temporary wage reductions, I guess, that was enforced. Just to confirm, that's no longer in place now, and should we expect operating expenses, forgetting about Gulf Utility for a second, should we expect your base operating expenses to increase again in Q1?
No, we have indeed, what we decided, we reduced these costs, overall from the WTS with one-off charge, $400,000, allowing us to save over a year, $700,000 of charges. In terms of Gus, it will, slightly increase, but very marginally. It's a very small and light organization. They're pretty thin and efficient. And our objective is still to maintain that in a 18% level overall, the entire SG&A.
Gotcha. That's helpful. Okay. And just one last question, just a point of clarification. Mark, you mentioned your growth expectations within specialty was 7-10% this fiscal year. Was that inclusive of Genesis?
No, in addition to the full year of full year contribution, so you got to add that 4.5 months.
So on top of the 7-10%.
Like, yeah. 7.2 million for 7.5 months, so it's almost like a million per month. So plus the organic growth of about 7-10%.
Understood. Okay, that's great. Thanks for clarifying that, and congrats on the quarter again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I will turn the call back over to our presenters.